You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Labor has announced tougher standards for foreign buyers of land over 5 hectares, saying foreign buyers will have to prove benefit over and above those of New Zealand buyers. David Seymour has criticised the policy, saying it's unfair to foreign buyers. I spoke with him, first asking him what his main criticism of the policy was.
Well, if you take that policy to its extreme, then why shouldn't every transaction have to prove through a bureaucratic process that it provides a benefit to New Zealand? People shop and buy things every day. Whether or not it's beneficial is up to them as a willing buyer and up to the seller as a willing seller. That's how transactions work. When it comes to foreigners, what interests does the government have in deciding whether or not the transaction should go ahead? Well, it should absolutely have an interest in knowing whether there is a security threat. If somebody was aiming to buy land in New Zealand to start a terrorist base or train people to overthrow the government and take over New Zealand, then obviously the government should be very interested in preventing people from doing that. The overwhelming majority of people who want to buy land in New Zealand generally want to do more benign things, such as farming and building homes. So I just think it's completely unnecessary. We don't apply this public benefit or beneficial to New Zealand test to most transactions, and the only reason you'd apply them to foreigners outside of possible security concerns is if you're xenophobic.
So do you feel the policies are sort of a bit vague in how it defines what is of benefit to New Zealand?
Oh, absolutely. And the dirty little secret is that they are deliberately vague. The official Overseas Investment Act already has so many absurd tests that every application could be passed or failed on any number of different parts of the OIA. And that allows politicians lots of leeway to intervene if they think something will be unpopular. So the classic example a couple of years ago was Lochinvar Station, perfectly normal transaction, wonderful initiative, freeing up capital so that Stevenson Group could do development of homes in South Auckland, something that we're a bit short of at the moment. And that was blocked by the governments of the day because they could use any number of excuses in the Overseas Investment Act to say that it shouldn't go ahead. Is it convenient for politicians? Yes, it is. Is it actually in the best interests of New Zealanders who just want to buy, sell and develop their property to whomever they please, so long as they're not threatening others? No, it's not.
And you also have an issue with applying to applications that are currently being considered, but these people will still have the opportunity to make additional submissions. So, and what's your problem with this approach?
Well, I would have thought it was fairly obvious to anyone who has spent any time following the way that governments make rules that we generally don't apply rules retrospectively. That means that if you enter into an arrangement on a given day, the laws that apply to you are the laws on that day. The government is never supposed to retrospectively change the rules on you because it opens you up to all sorts of discrimination where governments can go after particular people, and it's just a principle that we never violate in New Zealand. The fact that the Green Party are prepared to violate the principle that we do not make retrospective laws, I frankly find astonishing. I can't believe for a moment that Eugenie Sage is personally comfortable with this, but obviously the political trade-offs inside the government have necessitated it.
And you've compared it to the sort of land grabs in Zimbabwe. I mean, is this not a bit of an exaggeration? Those, you know, violent sort of extra-legal land grabs compared with this.
Well, I don't think we're about to turn into Zimbabwe, but I do think that when you abandon the underlying principles of a robust democracy that follows the rule of law, then that's the track you're going down. That's how it starts. And, you know, the idea that we need to violate the principle of not making laws retrospectively. There's no need whatsoever. So, you know, why they would do this, I'm just completely puzzled. But I would like to live in a country where the government upholds the basic principles of democracy, does not make laws retrospectively, than one that seems to be in a little bit of a hurry to get some 100-day plan commitments done.
So is your main problem with the legislation that it applies retrospectively, I mean, rather than it giving sort of New Zealanders a better chance at getting the land over foreign buyers who might have more capital?
I don't know if I don't know why I need to rank the objections. I would have thought that even if you liked the underlying idea of the law being provided, you would be very wary of what this kind of change means for the standards of lawmaking in New Zealand, that suddenly retrospective lawmaking is okay. Everybody should be worried about that, on the left and the right. Second of all, of course, I think if you're a property owner, you've got the right to sell it to whomever you please, so long as you are not doing harm to anyone else, so long as you are not creating a security threat to New Zealand. Why is it anyone else's business? If you're prepared to buy into the premise that the government should restrict what people can do with their property to give the buyers, a lower price, then you no longer have a commitment to a market with private property rights. And, you know, that's the type of economy that people have tried around the world, but it generally hasn't worked very well.
Moving on to assisted dying. So,
yes, I hope you'll be friendlier on this.
Yeah, Victoria's just legalised it.
That's right.
Do you think this bodes well for your bill?
Yeah, it does. Look, there's been a lot of progress around the world recently. Oregon, the US state on the west coast there, Washington, Belgium, the Netherlands, they've all had assisted dying laws for quite some time, for about 20 years. Just in the last few years, we have had the state of California, the entire country of Canada, and we've had the state of Colorado all choose to legalize assisted dying, and that's positive. But all of those places are quite a long way away, and they're somewhat culturally different from us, particularly the European ones. So the idea that a place like Victoria, which, you know, in many respects is, you know, very similar history to New Zealand, similar people, similar culture, all the same stuff to a large extent, and a place that's not far away and that many New Zealanders will have visited, has done it, I think that's hugely powerful. And I think it will also, the other thing about the Victorian case is that it happened through a parliamentary process that's quite similar to ours. So, you know, I'm quite interested in politics, but I can't claim to really understand how a lot of those American political processes actually work. Whereas what they've done over in Victoria, you know, it's gone through a parliament not so different from ours, and the politicians have come under the same pressures and made the right decision. So I think that should really be a wake-up call to politicians in our parliament, that my bill is coming up the order paper. They will have to vote for it soon. We actually want to give New Zealanders the choice. People shouldn't have to die writhing in agony. People should be able to make a choice, and it's been shown by the Supreme Court of Canada. It's been shown by the Attorney General here in New Zealand, who says my bill is consistent with the Bill of Rights Act, that it is possible to legalise assisted dying in a way that gives choice to those who want it and protects those who do not.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.